needs. Amen. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see each one of you. And just appreciate the song service, everything that was sung. So such a blessing.
Amen.
So just to really appreciate what the Lord does amongst his people. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. I wish to title this today, The Trial of Your Faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and Van Buren.
Amen.
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 Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. How many accept that this
Amen.
Morning?
Yes.
Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory,
Amen.
Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let's just pray. Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we don't want to come just, Lord, with our own efforts and just within ourselves, but Lord, we want to come, Lord, in the anointing and the bidding of your word to us, Lord, calling us in this great hour to be a people called by your name. Lord, we want to come and present ourselves to you this morning with faith, with believing, Lord, with expectation, with desire to see you come and do a great work in the midst of your people. Lord, we're here at this end time with so many things going on in the world, but Lord, that just means it's just that much more prepared for you to take your people. And we just pray, God, that this morning that you speak to every heart, every life, Lord, that you would cause them to go away today knowing that they have heard from you. Lord, that does not lie within the abilities of any man, but only through you, Lord Jesus. And so we just come this morning, we present ourselves to you, we yield ourselves to you, that you would have us and take us and use us as your people this morning. We love you, Lord. We pray that you take every spirit, Lord, we just give it to you, and that it be under in subjection to you now. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And you may be seated. I really appreciate what Brother Daniel had to say just a few minutes ago in an opening of service about walking in the Spirit, right? In the spirit of the rapture. And so, I also appreciate what he had to say about us being a holy God.
Right.
And so, because, you know, that's something we need to remember. As I mentioned Wednesday night, you know, as Brother Graham talked about, Peter saying it was the holy mountain, and Brother Graham said, well, it wasn't the holy mountain, it was the holy God on the mountain.
That's right.
And so may it be that it's not a holy people,
right,
but it's a holy God,
yes,
that's in the people.
Amen.
And may this building not be just a holy building, but a holy place that God, yeah, because God is here.
Amen.
Amen. And so, like I said the other day, we make it that way.
That's right, man.
We sanctify, we put him here.
Yes, sir.
And so we must approach this time. And And I want to go ahead and say this, because when he said that, I was you know, agreeing with him, but I also thought that it's not just this place.
Right.
But it's your whole life.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yeah.
Your whole life, your home and your time and your efforts, your voice, every aspect of your being as a Christian, we want to honor and serve God. And so so I really appreciate that. And then his comment about walking in the spirit of the rapture. And I know you've probably, we've mentioned these things before. You've heard other ministers. Hopefully you've heard Brother Branham talk about this. But you know, Brother Branham said that rock and roll, the whole world, that they're in that beat of rock and roll, and that is taking them to Armageddon.
That's right.
Yeah.
That they're dancing half dressed or naked, right?
Yeah.
Remember the prophet saw that vision, and he saw the churches of the world, and they had no clothes on. America especially, and was dancing to rock and roll music. And he said, that spirit's caught into all, and all the way down into Africa, people listening to that stuff. And that was in his day. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's there, and it's taking them to Armageddon. The church worlds are bebopping to rock and roll,
yes,
going to Armageddon.
That's right.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
But what about the bride?
Right.
Brother Bam saw her, and she wasn't bebopping and all that. She was marching.
Yes.
Anybody can bebop.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right? But it takes discipline to march.
Mm-hmm.
And march as onward Christian soldiers.
Amen.
Right? And to march and not get distracted.
Right, yeah.
As we seen there in the vision, that some there at the end of it was getting distracted, and Brother Ram cried, get back in line.
Yes.
And so we need to remember these things because music and the influence of these things in the world, they bring an anointing on you. It does matter what you spend your time doing and what you're looking at.
Yes.
And the devil knows that. That's why, if you think about it, when's the last time you heard a commercial,
mm-hmm,
or saw a commercial and it didn't have music behind it?
Right.
Yeah.
And look at how many commercials. They might be advertising Aquafina, but the people will be up here doing it.
Sure.
Right.
And so we must recognize the anointing of the world.
Yes, sir.
And get that off of you.
Yes, sir.
And one of the best ways to get it off of you is quit partaking of it. Quit looking at it.
Amen.
Mind what you spend your time doing.
Yes, sir.
And make sure that what you're feeding on is drinking from that living fountain of water and not that other cistern or whatever, as we talked about Wednesday night.
Yes.
And so, I just appreciated that. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the trial of your faith. You pray for me, like Brother Daniel said, pray for Brother Tim Pruitt.
Yeah.
Pray for me.
Yes.
We see here in the scripture where Peter is telling us, and I know you've heard these things before, but listen, the gospel has to be alive to us now, today.
That's right.
These things that it's saying got to be alive to us, and not just in this place,
right,
but in our home.
Amen.
When we go from this place, on your job.
Yeah.
And so Peter's telling us here, and we need to remember these things. Now, remember, Peter was the one with bold faith, burly faith, right? He was. Brother Owen talked about that, and you can see he just plows way right through stuff. He was like that. And so, but here Peter's telling us, he says that we are elect.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Who elected us?
Uh-huh.
We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God has foreknowledge. He's able to elect because he knew.
Yes.
But Peter's telling us that we are elect to the foreknowledge of God, and that he has begotten us again.
Yeah.
Again? Mm-hmm. You mean once before?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
That's right.
Once before in the mind of God. And now here we are. He's begotten us again. And what has he begotten us to? I'm just going to go through this for the first little bit. And you may be saying, well, Brother Tony, you're just saying what Peter said. But I want you to understand what he's getting at here.
Yeah.
He has begotten us again unto a lively hope.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
A lively hope.
Yes.
Not just people can have hope. I hope for a new truck, or I hope for this. But Peter said, "What he has begotten us again unto." And if you remember what Brother Ram talked about, not to, but unto. Mm-hmm. Unto. He, in other words, he's going to bring us all the way right to it. We're going to have it.
Uh-huh.
Right? He has begotten us again to a lively hope, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To an inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an inheritance, that means somebody had to leave it to you.
That's right.
And now who left it to you? And if God left it to you, which is God, if he did leave that to you, then is not going to go to somebody else. It's going to be to you.
Right.
So God left it to you, an inheritance, something he wants you to have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think I said the other day, you know, when someone gives you a gift, they think that that would do you good, and they want you to have it, and they want you to be able to go and prosper in the blessing of whatever that gift was.
Yeah.
And God has given us an inheritance, and he intends for that to come to us. It won't go to someone else. It's for you,
right.
And he wants you to walk in the blessings of what that inheritance is.
Yeah.
And it's an inheritance that is incorruptible.
Yeah.
There's so many things in this world that can corrupt, right? Jesus told us that we can lay up our treasures here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves will break through and steal.
Right.
But to lay your treasures up in heaven where that can't happen.
Yes.
And Peter's telling us here that we have an inheritance that's incorruptible.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to be eaten up by moth. It's not going to be stolen by some thief that's going to come through. It's not going to rust.
Right.
It's there. It's incorruptible. Undefiled.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right? And it can't fade away.
Yeah.
That's what he tells us.
Right.
It can't fade away. It's reserved already. It's reserved in heaven for you.
Right.
Now who's going to take it from you?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And so, and this is to you who are kept by the power of God through faith.
Mm-hmm.
You're not kept by your job.
Right.
You're not kept by your friends.
Uh-huh.
You are kept by the power of God through faith.
That's right.
In his word.
Amen.
That's what you're kept by. This is what Peter's telling us. By faith. Unto salvation. Again, there's that word unto. All the way to the place where you are recipients of the salvation that according to God's plan is going to be revealed in the last time.
Mm-hmm.
That's right now.
Yeah.
Everything that all the ages waited for and looked for, it's ready to be fulfilled and unfolded right now. It already has been.
Right.
But it just, you understand, it's right here at us. A body change and a resurrection of those that we can all come together and be together. Ready to be revealed.
Yeah.
And so Peter is saying, when you look at all that, if we really believe everything that we just read there,
mm-hmm.
well then, brother, sister, we got something to rejoice about.
Amen.
Right.
We have, and so Peter says, wherein, in all that, wherein, we greatly rejoice.
Yeah.
We greatly rejoice. And he said, we greatly rejoice even though for a season we are in great heaviness because of manifold temptations.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is what Peter's saying. Sure, you go through great temptations. You're in heaviness. You go through trials. You go through hard times. Everybody does.
Sure.
Every Christian does. And so, but Peter is saying, even though we go through those things, we rejoice.
Yeah.
We rejoice. Why? Because it's temporary. This is just a drying of our faith. So he goes on to say that the trial of your faith, which is much more precious than gold that is purified. Preaching, but sometimes you have to. Throat's itching. It wasn't until I got here. So that's the way it is, but boo devil.
Yeah.
Right? So the trial of our faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, even if gold is purified by fire, it's still corruptible.
Yeah.
Right? It'll tarnish, mm-hmm. It can be stolen, it can, you know, whatever happens to it when it's in the elements or whatever. And so Peter's telling us that the trial of our faith is more precious than fine gold. Now, with gold in this world, if you have enough of it, you can probably buy anything you wanted.
Right.
You can buy the entire nation of Russia if you had enough money. You probably could do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right? But there's something that we need, and it needs to be purchased, that gold can't do.
Yeah.
There's something, you can buy a lot of things, but there's one thing you can't buy with that, and that's the thing that God is putting over there for you on the other side.
Right.
You can't buy that with gold.
Right.
But what you can, what does happen is that your trial of your faith can buy that. Your trial of faith is doing something that fine gold can't do. And anything in this world can't do. And so if the trial of our faith is more precious than gold that perishes, and that through this trial, when it's all over and done with it, we might come to, this is my word, but we might come to be found in praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, for what he did, he deserves and he gets a reward for that.
Yeah. Right.
And the reward is not a people coming to him at the end of the age all defeated, they're expelled, you know. No, the reward that he deserves and that he's going to get is a people who come to him that no matter what trials and troubles they've had to go through, no matter what,
right,
that they come to him with honor and glory and rejoicing, and they come to him and praising him as king.
Yeah.
Because of what he's done.
Right.
That's who comes to him.
Yeah.
And he deserves that.
Yeah.
And that's what he's going to have.
That's right.
He's going to have that people that come gloriously marching disciplined to the gospel, marching to onward Christian soldiers, not distracted with all this other stuff.
Right. Yeah.
How many believe that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We believe that. We believe there's a word message in this earth today that's producing that in our lives.
Amen.
That's why we embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
He says, whom we have not seen, we love. And we rejoice with joy unspeakable. There's a song. A joy unspeakable and full of glory. Mm-hmm. That's where this comes from.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote that because they read this. They caught this.
Right. Yeah.
That no matter what happens, we have joy unspeakable. It's unspeakable. You know, that means that you can't put words to it.
Mm-hmm.
That you and we all know that as we've had an experience with God, that there's just so only so much you can say, but you really can't express it.
Yeah.
Right? It's joy unspeakable. We cannot explain it all. It's beyond the vocabulary of man. It's unspeakable. We, even though we desire to, we can't.
Right?
Right? Because there's no words for it. But God's got a language for us so where we can.
Yeah.
Right? And so, even though we don't see him, we love him and we rejoice with joy unspeakable in receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. What is the end of our faith? What is this all for?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? When it's all over and done with, the bottom line is that the salvation of our souls, that we could all be there together with him.
Yeah. Right.
That's what it is. That's what this whole battle is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go through battles.
Right.
Everybody does. We go through trials. Everybody does. Every Christian does.
Sure.
Every family does. Every church does.
Right.
You go through battles.
Right.
If you're not having battles, if you're not going through things, then I'll say, you know, I mentioned it before, B.J. Ryan, a brother, was here at this church back in Pentecost, and he was a precious brother, and he would say many, many times in the course of knowing him, when he'd preach, he'd say, if the devil's not fighting you, then it's because you're on his side.
Right.
And there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
Right? There's some truth to that. Because if you're on the side of the Lord, then you know the devil's got his crosshairs on you. And so, everyone goes through these things, and if you're not, but you have to realize that it's not just, this is not the will of the devil that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
He's just a tool in God's hands.
Right.
Satan's not going to change or erase or modify anything that God's got for us over on the other side. God will use him to make sure we get that.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have to remember that. And, you know, when you're going through trials and battles and things are just going wrong left and right and something else happens, like Job, it just keep coming. I was reading that the other day, and while one guy was standing there saying, and about the time he'd get through speaking, here would come another one.
Right.
Yeah.
With another tragedy. And when he'd get done, another one would come.
Right.
And sometimes we feel that way, that these things come wave after wave after wave, and you're like, can there be anything else? Of course there can be if God permits it.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we go through these things, and they have a purpose. And so the things to remember about that and about trials as they come and trying of your faith is that they are for a purpose.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
Every one of them is for a purpose. And something else also to remember is that they are temporary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They will not last forever.
As I
picked up years ago, I think, from Brother Biscoe, this too shall pass.
Right.
You know, this too shall pass. I think of Brother Miller. He's going through a trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this too shall pass.
Right.
There will be a day that shall be no more.
Yeah.
Right? But it might be years.
Mm-hmm.
It's already been years. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it might be for a long time. But it shall pass.
Yeah.
And Satan's not the one in control of this trial.
Right.
It's God.
Yeah, right.
And everything God does is for your good.
That's right.
Yeah.
To mold you and make you in what he needs you to be.
Yeah.
I have no desire to be something different than what God wants me to be.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is, but he does.
Right.
And I don't know how to get there, but he does.
Yeah.
Right. Right? And he knows how to get you where he needs you to be.
Right.
And so, as we've said so many times about the clay sitting up on the wheel, the potter's wheel, you know, where, oh Lord, I'm the clay and you're the potter. But I've said that clay has, you know, it's stiff, it doesn't want to move. And in order for it to be made into something for the master's desire, it has to change. His pressure of his hands has to change it into that form. And if you could ask that clay would say, oh, it hurts so much. I don't want to change.
Right.
But you won't be what he needs you to be if you don't let him change you.
That's right.
If you don't, during trial, buckle down and say, God, what are you doing in my life? I want to know what you want me to be. Let this trial work everything in me that it's supposed to work. And make me what you want me to be.
Right.
But we spend all of our time fighting against the trials.
Yeah.
But we should pray. We should get out and pray and say, Lord, what is it?
Right.
It's me. This is about me. This is about your hand on me.
Right.
To make me. It's not what the devil or whoever or whatever for me. It's about me and what you want.
Right. Yeah.
That's the best thing that you can get
out
of any trial. Is what God wants and what God's doing, and allow it to mold you and make you. And it won't be most of the time what you think it should be.
Right, yeah.
Probably never is.
Yeah.
Because if it's what you would want, you just don't just be it.
Right.
It's always something different than what you think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's what he knows and what he thinks.
Yeah.
You have to understand that. And so, but it won't last forever. It's for a purpose. For God to do it for something in you, and it's temporary. If she goes to 2 Corinthians 4, do look at what Paul said about these things. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Must be some reason that some people would faint. Right? But Paul's saying we don't faint. But though our outward man perish, and it is, as we get older, the outward man perish, yet inward, our inward man is renewed day by day. That's the key. That no matter what happens on the outside, inside, we are renewed day by day as we drink from that living fountain.
Right. Yeah.
Next verse. For this is what Paul is saying. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. You think, you know, we would look at Brother Miller's situation and say, a light affliction? But when you compare that to what God has waiting,
right,
that's a light affliction. And I say that humbly.
Yeah.
That no, even everything we go through is light affliction.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter said, it's just for a moment.
Yeah.
You know, a moment to us isn't very long. And a moment, a lifetime of trial here is nothing compared to what God has prepared.
Yeah.
And so our light affliction, which is but for a moment, well, what is it doing? What is this affliction? What is this trial we're going through doing?
Mm-hmm.
It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory. Amen. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is what Paul was saying about it. Light afflictions, just for a moment. We don't often think of it that way. Matter of fact, we probably never think of it that way. When you're going through a trial, your faith is being tried, and one thing after another, we don't sit around and think, this is for God. This is for God's glory. Most of the time, that's all what we're thinking. Right? But this is the truth of what it is. And if you make it something different than that, then you're trying to give Satan credit and power that he doesn't have. Right? God has got him right in his hand. Do whatever. And so, you know, we read in the scriptures where the early church, they rejoiced when they were persecuted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They rejoiced and they counted it honor to suffer for his name. They counted it as an honor for people to make fun of them, mm-hmm. ridicule them, tell jokes about them or something like that. You understand? When they were beaten, when they were martyred, they counted it as a joy and rejoicing because they understood that it was for his, for his sake, for his glory. But you know, during trials, when these things come, has a purpose, it won't last forever, but during those times, Satan will come to you and try to make you change what he will try to change your thoughts about a trial so that you will not have continue to be strong in faith. And he'll come to you and try to change your thinking. And the next thing you know, he'll have you thinking that God is punishing you and that God doesn't love you. And that God is mad at you, and that's why you're going through this.
Yeah.
Does anybody know that besides me?
Sure.
See? See, the devil exploits weakness.
Right.
And he will create the weakness. He'll throw out the stumbling block. And then when you fall at something he's thrown your way, then he'll accuse you.
Right.
And say, see? If God really loved you, this would not have happened. If God really loved you and wasn't mad at you, see, he wouldn't let these things come.
Uh-huh.
See? And that kind of thinking is from the pits of hell.
Right, yeah.
Because that's not it.
Right.
We've got to stop giving the devil credit for things and start letting it and saying, this is God. This is his program, and it's moving just exactly the way he wants it to be.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And so he'll come, he'll do that. And the reason why Satan does that is he wants to weaken your faith. But brothers and sisters, when he does that, sometimes it seems so real. He seems so right. You know what? I think he's right. Because we've all made mistakes. We all fall short every day. And he's right there to accuse you and say, see, once again, if you was a real Christian, you wouldn't have this trouble.
Right.
This wouldn't have come your way.
Right.
So you've messed up. And what he's telling you there is that the grace of God has limits.
Yeah.
That's what he's telling you. That God can only reach so far.
Yeah.
But he's a liar. That's all. You know, like we said, if the devil opens his mouth, he's lying.
Right.
Because if he's telling you the truth, and I mean, it has to be all truth. He can't have one, you know. Yeah. Then, well, his house would be divided. It wouldn't stand. It's not going to do anyway. But he does this to try and make you think that you don't have faith. That God don't love you. That you're not a child of God. That you might as well give up. What he tries to tell you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. How many knows what it means when he tried to tell you just give up?
Sure. Yeah.
He does it to the ministry too.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I went back and listened to Brother Jeremy at Sunday morning service 2 weekend. Very powerful. Very, very, very true.
Yeah.
And Satan to try and weaken and tell you, your family, your church, everybody would be better off without you. That's one of the things he said. I mean, he remembers that.
Right.
That's right. That's what the devil does, and he does it to all of us.
Right, yeah.
What's the use of trying? Why go any further? Mm-hmm. Because the devil wants to paint a bleak picture to you and tell you there's no hope in the direction you're going.
Right.
There's no hope. And it seems so right sometimes.
Yeah.
So powerful that even your prophet, the one God sent to make the manifestation of Jesus Christ come alive to us today so that we could marry that manifestation, that revelation, that your prophet said that the devil would talk to him right there when his wife was dead and his daughter laying there, and he said, you know what? The devil come here and begin to talk to me, and he said everything he was saying was right. Because the accuser, no, he's not a very good accuser if he's sloppy. No, he's a good accuser. He knows exactly how to craft it and just exactly how to accuse you when you're in your down moment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the way an enemy does. He'll catch you when you're weak, and he jumps in on you right then.
Right.
It's the way he does it. When you're weak, tell him that's it. And Brother Bram said, I was just about to say, well, you know what? If God is going to be that way, why? Because the devil had drawn our prophet into carnal thinking, intellect.
Right. Yeah.
And when you let Satan get you in on intellect to think your way through these things,
yep,
he's got you.
That's right.
Yeah.
And our prophet, being transparent, thank God, said that when Satan did that, he said, I was just about to say, if God's going to be that way, then I won't serve it.
Yeah.
He said, but then something way down on the inside of the inside, not flesh,
right,
not spirit, but the inside of the inside,
right,
from the soul realm, that place where you're a child of God or you're not,
yeah, right,
that place that cannot die, that hasn't sinned, that believes the word, and that has always been because it's eternal,
yeah,
from there came a voice,
yes,
and said, if God gives, God takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
If it can happen to your prophet, probably could happen to you.
Sure.
Right? But the one key there is to him getting you to begin to think and speak and act contrary to what the promise of God says.
That's right. Right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen. So many times you don't think you have faith. Many times you don't realize it. Brother Rand tells us in a sermon called Perseverance. He said Jesus is speaking one time about mustard seed, or faith as a grain of mustard seed. It's the smallest. The mustard seed is among the smallest seeds that there is in the earth today. But what is it? It won't mix with nothing. We should listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Mustard seed, very little bitty guy. But he goes on to say, mustard seed won't mix with no other. He said, you can take kale and spinach and make grape and so forth, and you can bring different substances by mixing seeds, but mustard don't mix. They tell me, you can't mix it with nothing. It's mustard,
mm-hmm,
and it remains mustard. So if it can't mix, it just remains mustard.
Right.
Right? If you mix it with something, that is something else. But so Jesus is telling us, you know, that if you have faith, I'm going to break this down for you, make it very clear. If you have just a little tiny speck of faith,
mm-hmm,
ever so small, if you have just that little speck, if it won't mix with nothing, then here's what Brother Graham goes on to say. He says, When a man takes a word of God, no matter how little that faith is, but if it won't mix with any unbelief, it'll bring him out to the light.
Yeah.
It'll bring that man out to victory.
Right? Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Some of us, now listen to this, because we're so guilty of measuring one another and what we do and what somebody else does, and you know, stop that.
Right.
Every bit of it. Stop it. Stop. The Bible says it's not good to compare yourself one with another, right? Compare yourself to the Word of God.
Right.
Right? Brother Branham said some of us have great faith that'll just perform miracles. That's the kind of faith he had. Right? Because he had that kind of ministry. So some of us had great faith that'll just perform miracles. And some of us has faith just to hold on till it happens. So one of the faiths can produce it right now, and another faith can't produce it right now, but can hold on to it regardless of how long it takes. They'll hold on to it until it does happen. Two different faith. They're both faith, right? They're both faith. Can hold on till it happens. But if it's genuine faith, once a hold of it, there's nothing going to shake you from it. It ain't going to mix. Then that person is persistent. He is perseverant.
Right.
If you have, and so, just even a little bit of faith, just a tiny bit. He said, and they're great, some people have great faith. And to me, any faith of all, if it won't mix, is great. Because it will produce what God said it would do. It might take a while.
Yeah.
Not because that's a limit, but because that's just sometimes that's the way faith is with some people's trials. Sometimes you get over it quick, and sometimes you have to be there for a while. Both of them are faith. And both of them will not mix with unbelief.
Right.
Brother M says in a sermon called The Messiah. Now, this is the story where Brother Raymond was telling about, you know, they had the woman with the child that died, and the military was going to fly him over with a plane. They were ready to take him because people over there were prophesying that Brother Raymond was going to pray and his baby's going to be resurrected or whatever. And Brother Raymond just said, well, let's just wait and see what the Lord says. And he went out and prayed, and she was calling and calling like that. And so here's where the Lord finally came to him. And he looked, and he said, I jumped up, and I said, Lord, what would you have your servant know? And he said, do not rebuke that. Do not rebuke the fact that child has died. Do not rebuke that. That's the hand of the Lord. See? Brother, so I got her on the phone, and I said, no, God has called your baby. And so, in other words, bury it. Go bury your baby. And he said, you know, that sometime after that she came to their house. And he said, when she came to their house, she said, what was it, Brother Branham? My weakness of faith? And I mentioned this before, but I'm reading it to you this time. I said, you have great faith. Listen to what he said. We want to measure out, we want to measure whether God's in it or success or not by great thing, great miracles. And sometimes it don't come that way.
Right.
And if we all the time expect it's got to be a certain way, it's got to be a certain way, it's got to be a certain way, then you're making an idol out of God. Because God is a living God. And he performs things in different ways.
Right.
See what I'm saying? And this is what he's getting at here. There's different kinds of faith. They manifest differently, but they're all faith and will produce.
Right.
He said, no, you have great faith. You prayed for your baby. You and your husband held to it. God raised that baby. And he refused to do it because he knows what's best. And you still love him. That's real faith. Think about it. See, the devil will change our thinking and make us think, oh, this just is not right. And that's not true.
Yeah.
Right? That's not true. That's real faith. Listen to what else he says. Anybody, when mountains are moving and things, can have faith. I mean, if miracles are happening and you go, praise God, I'm going to get my healing too. When great things are happening, it's easy for you to have faith like that. But look at what he says. But let it go backwards one time and see how it works. Mm-hmm. That's when you prove whether or not you've got faith or not. Is it still our prophet, or should I stop here?
Amen.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
It don't always have to be fireworks.
Right.
To a believer, it doesn't matter. I'll get there in just a minute. It doesn't matter whether it's fireworks or not. We're going to serve God no matter what pathway he takes us down. Because believers have great faith. Believers have faith. You've got great faith.
Right.
You've gone through a lot of things and you're still loving and serving.
Right.
According to this, you've got great faith.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. He goes on to say, that'll prove whether or not you got faith or not. Every son that cometh to God must be chastened and tried of God. So remember, our trials work to patience, and patience hope, and so forth. So we just hold on to God. Whether he blesses us or not, we're right there to believe him anyways, because he promised. But we like to put conditions on it. Well, he didn't do it, I guess, and you get defeated. Start beginning to doubt because God didn't answer today. He didn't. You know what I'm saying? Believers, time, if you've got real faith, then time doesn't matter. Right? If it's the kind of faith that will produce the miracle will happen. If it's the kind of faith that rides through until it happens, then it'll ride through till it happens. Right? So, we're just going to keep believing God. Whether he blesses us or not, we're right there to believe him anyhow, because he's promised. Amen. Like I said a while ago, Brother Branham had a ministry where, I mean, great faith miracle, because that's what God had called him to get people's attention upon the things so he could, the message, get the message out there. But few people have that kind of faith. Few people, on occasion, things happen. But few people have the kind of faith that they can just make it happen right there on the spot. On occasion, I had one this last week. On occasion, it happens to all of us. A little, you know, I woke up, my sinus was on fire. They were starting to, and I just said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I do not accept this sinus infection. And within an hour or so, it was gone. I didn't even know when it left. I just remember later on in the day, it was gone. And I didn't wake up with it. It was coming on. It started while I was driving to work. So it wasn't like I was laying there sleeping when my mouth opened and my sinus got off. It just started happening. But I just said, and I didn't feel great, shaking, nothing. But based upon his promise, and I've done this before, and it didn't necessarily work, okay? But I just said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I do not accept this. Okay? So we all experience different things in different levels.
Right.
But we can't put God in a box and say, you've always got to do it. Because if every time you go to him and say, Lord, I need this, boom, you got it. There's no molding and making of your character, and you'll never change.
Right.
You'll never change if he doesn't work in your life in ways that you've got to wait, and you've got to feel that pressure, and you've got to trust, and you've got to keep trusting, and you've got to keep believing. If you don't do that, you'll never change, see? And he knows that.
Right.
He knows that. So he told the sister about her baby. He knew what was better. If she could have convinced him and he would have went and prayed for that baby and that baby resurrected, that baby might have been out and got off into something and wound up lost. And I'm saying that just as a man.
Right.
We know from the predestination God it could happen, but you understand. Paul said, I speak as a man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We know the revelation. We know what the message is telling us. But we sometimes we look at it and we see and we speak as on a human level to know we've got to work out these things. We've got to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But God's word is right. And his predestination is real. And that inheritance is waiting for us. It's reserved already. Satan gets a hold of us where we no longer rejoice in it. We should rejoice because it's there waiting on us.
Right.
And God's working something in us that's in more exceeding eternal weight and glory when you go through things. Amen. And so, whether or not he blesses us or not, we're going to keep believing. So as I said a while ago, you've got great faith. Brother Tim's got great faith. The Wheeler family's got great faith. Brother Daniel's family got great faith. We have, my family, great faith. Because we've all gone through things that Brother Tim served and me served in different things. We've all gone through things knowing God could change it, but he didn't. We had to walk this, and we're still having to walk things.
Right?
And we're still here. Still part of this church, part of this body, still serving God, still loving one another, still trying to give for our lives for one another.
Yeah.
Anybody do it? Is that what you're doing? Amen. Because
yeah,
we're a body. That's why we do it.
Right.
And so you have great faith. Don't let the devil tell you you don't. Because
right.
You do.
Amen.
And you just keep on with it. And there will be times when God will do great things miraculously in front of you, and sometimes it'll just have to go on until next thing you know, it's okay. Amen?
Yeah.
That's the truth. So you have great faith. God is the one that determines what the trial is and how long that trial will be. Because it's the trying of your faith. But always remember, as you're going through it, on your behalf in that other realm, something's growing and being built, a more eternal weight and glory.
Right.
You're not going to be like a feather that just blows away. That even has some substance to you.
Amen.
In that realm, that heaven will know you're there.
Yeah.
Right? And it's God's doing.
Right.
The eternal weight and glory. God determines what it is, how long it'll be. But during those times, we need to say what the Word says. Don't listen to the devil. The devil comes, and these are examples, kind of like Brother, he gave several examples, but like, oh, you're sick. Well, by his stripes, I'm healed.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you did wrong, and you've got this. Now you're in this trouble. Well, you know, he traces. Praise God, I'm his son.
Right.
Well, you're going to die. Well, praise God, he'll raise me up again. See, everything the devil comes to you with, there is an answer to give back to him from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it don't matter if he's saying it or not, that doesn't make it true.
Right.
Just because he's rattling that stuff in your ear all the time doesn't make it true.
Right.
Don't be like out here in the world when the media will keep pushing a lie, keep pushing a lie, keep pushing a lie, and guess what? People will start believing it, and before it's over with, they'll write it as history.
Right.
Don't do that. Just because he keeps on and keeps on and keeps on, you stay with this Word. And you say what the Word says. By his stripes I'm healed. Amen. And so, this is the attitude and stance that you should have when Satan comes to you. Don't pick up a wrong spirit about yourself and of defeat. Because Satan can put a spirit on you of defeat.
Sure.
And so, and when you see others going through things, and maybe, if we're honest, we have to say that when I'm going through things, my performance isn't the best in the world. That when I should have faith and I should be right there, I'm not. And if others are looking at me, they can look and say, I thought he was a brother. I thought he was strong in faith. I thought he was an example.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so here's the thing is that when you see someone else going through things, don't you become their accuser. Because rest assured, they already have the accuser working on them. They don't need our help, right? He's already on them.
Right.
And so the Bible doesn't tell us to do that, to become their accuser.
Right.
You see the story of Job. They've got that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. If she'll bring that up, let's look at what this says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, what do we do about it? Criticizing, go tell everybody, make a, You know, no. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Let me give you my comment on that. If you can't go restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, then you're not a one that's spiritual. You're still carnal.
Right.
See? If a man's overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, because you reap what you sow. And if you handle a case wrong,
that's right,
then you're going to have to deal with that.
Right.
That's right. Who's doing it? The devil? No. God is the one that's the God of the harvest. Right? He's the one that controls the sowing, what happens and how much you reap when you sow.
Right.
He's the Lord of the harvest, not the devil. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear, listen to this. We've got to get this. We talk about all these people, oh yeah, we do this and we keep the laws and we do all that, and some people do the law of Moses and all that. And when you get all the way down to the bottom thing, if you want to fulfill what God wants you to do, here's what it is. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But he shouldn't be. This brother's been a Christian for years, and look what he's done. And now, no. No matter who it is, what it is, how long it is, how it come, what it's manifesting, if you see someone that's overtaken in a fault, you go, you make the difference. You go restore such a one. You work and do what you have in your life until you see that brother or sister restored.
Right.
It's on you.
Right.
You say, oh, it's on it. No, it's on you, according to this.
Right.
Because when a man's in jail, he can't get himself out of jail. He's going through a trial. He needs somebody else who's not going through it at the moment to bridge the gap for what he can't do.
Right.
And God has made it that way because we are a body.
Right.
We are a body. And one member can start getting sick and it'll start making others sick.
Mm-hmm.
See? But the whole body, the scripture says, it knows how to fit. Healing's in the body. But not if every member shuts down.
Right.
If every member shuts down because of one, are you hearing me?
Right.
See, but every member, do your part, and before you know it, that healing will take place.
Right.
Because healing's in the body.
Right.
Why? Because God lives in this body.
Right.
But you've got to be what you're supposed to be. You know, when a person's sick, you know, in medical, you know, somebody gets something off that, and healing. But it's when other things start going wrong. And next thing you know, when three or four different things aren't doing their part, and they're parted, then
right.
They don't die because of one thing, usually.
Right.
Right? What about a body of believers? A church? A family? A home? See? When someone's failing, make a mistake, falling short, you make the difference during those times. You bear their burdens. You make it. And this is my way of trying to say it, but you make it as though they're okay until they are okay. I'm not saying ignore the fact that they're falling. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying you bridge the gap. You project them completely healed and back in their spot. You project that. You live that. You speak that. You pray that. You think that. You accept that. And you don't accept any other idea from the devil. You accept that person as being right back in there where they're to be because they're part of you and you can't write them off.
Right.
You do that. I know I'm pastoring you this morning, but that's the truth. Because that's what you need.
Right.
And so you don't write them off. You make the difference in their life until they're right back in there. And then next thing you know, they're making the difference in your life when you're having a trial.
Right.
Right? That's why Brother Rim said, you know, when you're looking Calvary right in the face when you're living for others.
Right.
And a life, I say this a lot, a life that's lived to themselves is a wasted life.
Right.
That's right. We live for one another, but our focus of living should be this gospel first. We love our times of fellowship, and God wants us to have that. But that's not number one. This word is number one, first. Amen. And so, you make the difference in their lives until they're right back where... Because you know what? Where did we originate at? In the mind of God.
Right.
And we come here, and what condition were we in? Come in this world lost, speaking lies.
Right.
So what does the Lord do? He come down and he says, you know what? I'm going to make the difference, and I'm going to keep making the difference, and I'm going to keep working in until they are right back to where they were to begin with.
Right.
And we're little messiahs. Mm-hmm. If you'll arm yourself with this kind of thinking, you can do these things.
Right.
You can make that kind of difference in the lives of others no matter what they're going through, but you can't project the wrong thing. You can't be thinking the wrong thing about yourself or about others.
Right.
The trial of your faith. During that trial, that's the time to really stay with the Word of God, to really be what you're supposed to be, is when things are going south. That's when it's hard. But Brother Ben said, that's when you know whether you really got faith or not.
Yeah.
We all like great things. We all like services like we had, you know, it's just camp meeting, whatever. We like that. But you can't have it like that all the time.
Right.
God won't let it be that way all the time. But during those times when it's not, that's when you know whether you really got faith or not. Because you keep right on. You keep coming and serving the body. And you don't check out.
Right.
Because things aren't the best in the world. You know, every church would like to have great numbers, but you know, Church of Ephesus had only, 12 members? It was a small church. It's not in numbers. God told Israel, don't you number. And the concept there is it doesn't matter how many there are. It doesn't matter as long as God's with you. It doesn't matter. And David made the mistake of saying, you know, he numbered them and there was judgment because of it. Because God doesn't want you looking and saying, oh, praise God, we're really doing good now. No, it's the level of faith that don't mix. Are you staying with it no matter what happens? Are you staying with God and with His Word? Are you keeping pushing and serving the body? Do you keep doing that? Regardless. That's where it is. That's the thing. And that's great faith when you can stay right with it. Pressing on. And so you make the difference in persons' lives. And you do this selflessly. Not selfishly. Well, I'll go help this person because I know they can help me. That's not divine love. You do that selflessly, and you do it without end. A lot of people say, man, I've prayed and I've worked for that person for months and months, and they're just not progressing. I'm tired of it. That's not Christ. You do it until. You do it until they're totally, completely restored back. Do it selflessly because God requires it to be that way. If you do it selfishly, it won't be the same.
Right.
It won't be. Here's what I'm getting at. We have our own ideas and our own ways of doing things. And when we try to do it ourselves, it will be selfishly. It will have limits. It will be on condition. But if we can pray through until we totally, and I mean brother, sister, I mean we totally die out to ourselves to where we have such an anointing of God over this situation in our lives, that we can go and we can serve that individual or that body or whatever it is, we can do that selflessly and without limits, without conditions, and we can just keep doing that because that's what He did. You can't do that in your own self.
Right.
You can't do that with filial love.
Right.
You can only do that when you pray and tap in to God's love, agape love.
Right.
Stop trying it. If you know that you're struggling with people and situations and all that, then that's you. We need to stop trying to put it off on other people and realize, listen, if you have those troubles, you get down until you pray, until the anointing of God comes on you and a love fills your heart till you can absolutely serve the body or whatever that situation is for a person or whatever, it might be a work situation, whatever, until you can truly be Christ. Spit upon, laughed at, love them anyway. Help them anyway. Is that what the gospel teaches us? Is that what Brother Ray taught us? And why do we still have trouble with it?
Right.
See? Perfect love can do this.
Right.
As long as you're having struggles, you know you're not in perfect love yet.
Right.
I'm fixing to drop a bombshell on you here, and you know this, but to remind you, I forgot to print it out, so I'm going to read it off my phone. And this is in adoption. Adoption number 4, if you want to go look at it. Adoption number 4, Brother Bram says, that's what brothers mean. See, it's to preach to you people, don't remain on the same condition you've been going. Change now. Hear me as I say it, thus saith the Lord. I never call myself this. I'm not. But you call me your prophet. Brethren, you have to realize in the Bible, men didn't call themselves prophets. Their ministry showed what they were. And so you don't find, hey, I'm a prophet. You better listen. See, Brother Brown had to be humble and say, hey, I'm not. But he was. And he knew he was. But he would say, I don't call myself that. Because the ministry will show that. And so he says, I'm not, but you call me your prophet or a prophet. And the world believes that. The world around, millions and millions and millions of people. I've spoke directly or indirectly to 10 or 12 million people or more directly speaking. And I've seen tens of thousands of visions and signs and wonders. And not one of them has ever failed. And that's right. He's foretold me things that's never failed to happen exactly. I'll bring any man to trial on that. Brother Bram said, let him come. Let him come right now and tell me where it's wrong. Of course, they wait till he's off the scene and then try to say that.
Yeah.
See? But he says, I'll bring him to trial on that. I don't claim to be a prophet, but you listen to me. Thus saith the Lord, it'll take perfect love to put you in that place where he's talking about on the other side where he went. It will take perfect love to put you there.
Right.
For that's all that was there. We've heard that before, haven't we? But how many of us could say, brother, sister, I'm there. I'm in perfect love. And if you're not, then you're not ready for there.
Right?
You're not ready for there. And you want to tell other people and do all these things, and you're not there yourself? I know, I'm playing, but it has to be. Because if we're, as Brother Daniel was saying, we got to get in the spirit of rapture. I mean, if this is coming out of brother, sister, whatever is lacking needs to be gone. And so we've got to get out of the way. We need to have what we... And so he said, the only thing that's going to be there is that perfect love, that agape love, divine love. So he says this, because we put so much stock and so much measurement. As I said, we measure ourselves with one another. We measure our church with other churches and all these things. It's wrong to do that. Get focused on God. Let him do whatever he wants and just be happy with whatever he's doing, whether he's blessing us or not. Just be happy. I'm serving God.
Yeah.
So we do that. We look at other things, you know. And so he says, no matter how many or how much religious demonstrations or how much good deeds you've done or whatever you've done, it won't count nothing on that day. Wow. Great big churches, great big things, great big signs, you know, signs, wonders. I prophesied in your name, done all these. Won't matter.
Right.
And that day, is he still our prophet?
Yeah.
We can't just pick and choose.
Right.
We can't pick and choose. And I think we all can say, you know what? I know. Right. We got to pull up to this. We got to tighten up. And this is what we got to shoot for. Quit shooting for this and for that and this manifestation and that manifestation. Shoot for the fact that you can love people to the place, even if they're your enemy, as we'll read. That's what you, because brother, sister, without that, we're going to miss it.
Right.
We're not going to get there because we have great song services, great prophesying and miracles happening. That's not it. That's not it. The disciples came back rejoicing, you know. And so you say, well, on the day of Pentecost, they got the Holy Ghost, and then they could go out and heal the sick. They had that before they got the Holy Ghost. That's right. We have this day, you know, what would Jesus do? And I've said this before. Well, what would Jesus do? And the world's caught up on that. But there's only one, the bride of Christ, is ordained to come to that place to do what Jesus would do.
Right?
That's right. These glasses are broken. Don't even want to stay on my head. Let me finish this here. It won't count nothing on that day. It'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, lay aside everything else until you're just so filled with the love of God till you can love those who hate you.
Right.
Brother, sister, are you there? I'm not. I can pray until I do get there, and it's momentarily, you know. But you, so you know, so we're talking about a life. We've got to come into a life. That a life that takes faith to move into that and say no, and quit looking at all this other stuff and move right into that so that he can truly live in us. That's what it takes. So, lay aside everything else until you can just love those who hate you. And Brother said, now I've said this morning, my whole makeup is grace. A lot of people say, now you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Right? You do something for me and I'll do something for you. That's not grace. That's what Brother Ram says. I'm reading him. That's not grace. Well, he's doing something, so I'm going to do it for him because he's going to do it for me. No, that's not grace. Grace is if your back is itching, I'll scratch it anyhow, whether you scratch mine or not. You slap me in the face and say, my back is itching. It needs to be scratched. I'll scratch it. He slapped me in the face and said, here, Brother Dan, if I walked up and slapped you and said that, what would be your response first? And you, all right, would? But you hear what he's, but listen, what did Jesus do when they pulled the beard out of his face? When they crucified him? He said, Father, forgive him.
Right.
He wasn't just playing when he said that. That was real. That was real. Not just make believe. It was real. He said, I'll scratch it. See, that's it. They slap you in the face and say, I'll scratch it. And you know what? Brother Branham did that. Jesus expressed that kind of life. So did Brother Branham.
Yeah.
And it's in the Word for us too. You slap me in the face, so my back is itching, you scratch it, I'll scratch it. See? That's it. Do something. I don't believe in works. I believe that works is love. Works is the manifestation that grace has taken place. And then he talks about it. He said, I don't live true to my wife because I'm afraid she'll leave me or whatever. I do it because I love her.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And his commandments are not grievous.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you believe when that person has fell away or whatever, you believe, you continue to believe that they're a child of God, and you bridge the gap for them, and don't you write them off, de-Christianize them, demote them, make them out to be something that they're not. You keep projecting them as a child of God. Brother Ram says in a sermon called Do You Now Believe? And this is about the story about the woman that come to him. And she was all having nervous issues or whatever. And Brother Branham began to talk to her, and he saw a vision where she had been with a man when her husband was overseas in the military. And she said, she said, oh, no, don't tell anybody that. He said, you're going to have to make that right with your husband or you're not going to get healed. And so she said, well, I just can't do that. I just can't tell my husband I was unfaithful to him. Now, you know what? to me, there's a lot of things a man and woman can do against each other. But brother, sister, this is that right there, being unfaithful in that way, that'd be really hard. That'd be really hard. But I want you to listen to this, because that's exactly what this was. She said, I just can't tell him that. Brother Brent said, why not? He's got the same thing to tell you. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, no. Not my husband. He's a deacon. Right? Mm-hmm. He's a deacon in Brother Johnson's church. Mm-hmm. Said, you go get him. You go get him and come back here. And this is where she's left and went to get him. And here's where we pick up the story. My wife said, do you think they'll come back? And Brother Brim said, sure, they'll come back. So it hadn't been had just a little while. My wife said, well, look, coming up the steps. Here they come with their arms around one another, just crying and tears running down their cheeks. And I opened the door and I said, what about it? What about it, saints? Truth is truth. What about it? In his presence, before him, our little pet peeve, our little love, whatever it is we're doing that's not divine love driven, what about it? It won't stand. What about it? He said, Brother Branham said, my wife called me and I got in the car and she said, she come confessing to me that she had done wrong, that she had did. And then she said, she accused me of the same thing. And I said, where you been? Yeah, where you been? Where you been that you're able to share and reveal this word of my heart into my own life? Where you been? What presence you been in that you could say that and do that? Where you been? And then he said, it's the truth, Brother Brim. He said, I don't know you. I've heard about you, Brother Johnson. My Brother Johnson, but said, I've never seen you, but I want to shake your hand and say it's absolutely the truth. I'm guilty. And no good to be called the father of my children or a deacon in that church. As soon as I can, I'll get to Brother Johnson and I'll resign my job. And we would say, yeah, think about it. Think about it if it was in your church, that if it was Brother Tim, and I'm saying that just because he's our deacon, okay? But Brother Tim, I know this. But what about it? How would we handle this? We're not there yet. And we're going to tell the world how to live, and we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? He said, I'll resign my job, but listen to what the prophet said. I said, don't do that. He said, I'm going to go resign as deacon. Brother Brown said, don't do that. Let me finish the quote. Just get right with God and continue on with your work. Continue on with what he just said. I'm going to resign as deacon. He said, just get right with God and continue with your job. See? And I said, no need of doing that. No need in writing this brother off. Right. No need in making him, you know, if he gets right with God. Because right. You know what? If a person goes through something and they get back restored, they've learned something.
Sure. Right.
But we're talking about how we act with people. With part of the body, with friends, family, whatever. We're talking about that. Right. When that person's going through that. What we should do. You know, there's nothing here that says anything about that man, that he was sorry and he just struggled. No, it was covered. And he there's nothing. He probably just, you know, if this hadn't happened, probably the next day he went right on us. But when it was exposed, right. when the word came and exposed what was hidden in his heart and what had happened, then his attitude was to repent, say, God, forgive me. This is wrong. I'm not worthy. See? And that's what makes the difference there. See? And so he said, no need of doing that. And he said, oh, if God would forgive me. And that's the way we would do it. Oh, if God would just forgive me, I shouldn't have done that. I knew better. If God would just forgive me. Brother Ram said, I said, sure, he'd forgive you. Now you confess your wife and her again to you, and you forgive one another. Yes. I said, okay, now let's sit down. Now's the time. And he was going to pray for her. And we know she was well, made well from that moment on.
Yeah.
So Brother Ram said, no, you don't have to. Just get right with God. Right? You got to forgive him. He's got to forgive you. Get right. And everything's okay. Right? And now God will move. Think about it. If you want God to move, are you letting the word come through your life and find out things that are there that you need to repent of? And if you truly repent of it before God, now will be the time that God can move for you.
Yeah.
Right? These are all truths laid here in the scriptures, in the Bible. I'll keep trying to get through this. This is the message, what we just read. We can't pick and choose. We've got to believe. Not everyone's got great faith. Even though, as I said a while ago, any kind of faith that's not mixed with anything to me is great. It won't mix with unbelief. But not everybody's got great faith. Brother Branham says, and God's word calls for total separation from unbelief. He said, and all these believers, as we could go for hours, all these, he's talking about different people in the Bible. He said, all these are like a bunch of change out of your pocket in God's hands. You pull out a bunch of change, and there's pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, and half dollars and dollars, all coins. Now, that's what the world is in God's hand. There are some people that just can have a penny's worth of it, penny's worth of faith, right? And God can only use them in a penny way. That's all they can buy. Don't reject them. If they can't believe the real truth, don't you turn them down or kick them out and say, well, they're not in it, because God uses pennies sometimes. Lot was just a penny. Abraham was a silver dollar. So it taken 100 lots to make an Abraham. And so it will take 100 carnal believers will ever stand up in the presence of a genuine Christian that's separated from the carnal things of the world, living in Christ Jesus, where the word can flow through him. He can only take a penny's worth, and that's all he's got. Right? Not everybody's called to have great faith, but God will use them. They're still God's children, right? So, in church dedication, Brother Manham says, the tabernacle now belongs to God Almighty, and you belong to God Almighty. Always keep yourself clean. Keep the church clean. Keep it upright. So that anyone who travels by might love to come in and fellowship with you, have a sweet spirit, till you can reach out a hand to anyone and offer them help. No matter how far they are down in the gutter, that's what this stands for, a shrine of the grace of God. Talking about the tabernacle. Amen. You know, the golden rule, always do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So, as you go through the trial of your faith, and you can get a wrong spirit on yourself, and here's what happens when you get, Satan gets that over on you, and it's like, once something's birthed, you know, it's a living thing, and you can't, it takes some doing to get rid of it, right? It's got to die. And so you let Satan mess with your mind long enough and criticizing yourself and saying, I'm no good, and God can do nothing to me. And after a while, that thing will take a life of its own, and there you are with that on you.
Yeah.
And everything that happens and everything that God would do through your life, you filter through that of the filter. And you'll never see yourself to be anything because Satan has now, and you can have that about, you can have that upon you about others. You can get a spirit upon you about others. And no matter what happens, you'll always, no, that's, you don't want that. That's the opposite of what faith is, the opposite of what divine love is, perfect love is here. Don't get a spirit on yourself where you're condemning someone and they nothing they can do. That's when you're supposed to cover for them. That's when you're supposed to draw them out and help them until they're restored. Amen. Always remember to do it. Don't go by what you feel. Don't go by what you feel. You know, don't go to the store and buy groceries when you're hungry. Don't make decisions, especially major decisions, when you're emotional. Don't do it. God is sturdy. And if we'll follow his word, we can be sturdy.
Right?
And so, because decisions made during emotional times are seldom right. I don't know if I've ever seen one that was right. Hasty, done under the thing. You know, you say, just walk away until cooler heads prevail. You've heard that phrase in the workplace and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because once emotions kick in, it's a nuclear war.
Right?
And decisions made during that time, you can't build nothing on that. Right? You got to have sturdiness. And so God calls us to that. Aren't you glad that God doesn't operate off of emotions?
Yeah.
That he doesn't. Every time you do something bad, we'd be done. We'd all be done.
Right.
We'd all be gone. Amen. Just remember that. Divine love goes beyond emotion, beyond circumstance. It doesn't act upon circumstances. It doesn't act upon what it sees physically. It looks at the promise. It looks at the end, what's projected out at the end. You even remember in Romans chapter 8, it says that there's nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not things present, things just principality, power, whatever. None of those things can separate us. You know, we know that the hereafter, I'll call it the hereafter, is going to be judged by the word. We know that when this is done, the world and the whole thing is going to be judged by the word. We also know that we are to be judges. We talk about it all the time, that death doesn't change you. It only changes your dwelling places. You've got to come to the character here that you can judge there, or you understand. And so I just kind of want to run something by you this morning about that. While we're here, through the trial of our faith, we grow in God until we do know how to judge according to using the word. And we grow and we learn how not to judge by emotions, not to judge by what we see physically, but to judge the word and by the promises of God, and to project God's word, not our own ideas, not project our own business, but project. And because we know that divine love can produce what you projected, right? We know that in the message, right? And so we're here to learn that. As we go, the trial of your faith is working in you, that kind of thing. Why will it be an exceeding eternal weight and glorious? Because when you get there, you'll fit there just fine, because what's going to be there is the word. And that word is being formed in you, the character of it formed in you. Through what? Trials, tribulations, temptations. You're learning obedience by the things you suffer.
Right.
Amen? So this is building up in us. And you may say, well, brother, I don't know if I'll ever get to the place where that if God gave me a body change, because we know that as long as we're in this right here, we will have a battle with this. But while we battle with this, and while emotions and circumstances, sometimes we have, as a born-again believer, we have in us the life to judge properly and a desiring, and it's been growing in us. And even in all that, sometimes we through circumstances, we get off the mark a little bit, right? Because of this flesh and this world. But here's what I want you to think about. When you look down inside you and you see what's there, and you know what's in you has a 100% desire to judge right and live right, and you know that's really what you want. You may make mistakes because of things that happen, but you know that at the end of the day, what you default back to is, I want to serve God. I want to live for Him.
Right.
Okay? Now that's there in you, and you're wrapped around in this world that's causing you, it makes it hard to live that. Paul talked about that. When I would do good, evil was present. Right? Who's going to save me from this condition where I'm trying to do what's right? I have something in me to do what's right, but then all this evil is present. Why not doing something I don't want to do? Didn't he say it? Is this your Bible?
Yeah.
But here's what I want to tell you, that when you're in that condition, just like Paul said, who can save me from the body, this thing around me that's putting effect on what's birthed in me? Who will save me from the body of this death? And here's what I want to tell you, is that when you can see that that's there, like Paul was talking about, just imagine the moment that God takes you out of this body and he puts you in one that will not work against you. Will you be able to judge righteous then? Every time? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What's being formed in you is worthy to go there. And God will take you out of all this nonsense. He'll take you out of all this trial of your faith and put you there, and you'll be fit. You will be ready. You will be able to judge, set on there. And you understand? Because he's forming that in you right now. So don't make the mistake of thinking, No, look at what's down inside there. Are you like Paul? Can you say, you know what? I have this desire. I know something's been born in me. I know I'm different, but I have this struggle with stuff outside. Well, so does everybody. Brother Adam did.
Right?
But just know that when he takes you out of this world and out, then you won't have that no more. And what's formed in you won't have any more struggles.
Right.
Amen? The trial of your faith. So stop looking at circumstances. Stop looking at different things, lying vanities. And start looking at the promise of God. Start looking at what is projected from his word. And I'll say this. You start projecting the right thing.
Right.
If you have a loved one that's gone wayward, don't project all of what you see. Don't project that. You project them as being, like I said, as being saved.
Yes.
As being there. And thereby you'll live in a way to help produce them getting back and getting to that place.
Right?
Right? That's part of your trial.
Right.
That's part of the trying of your faith. Can you continue to press on to the promise of God no matter what you see happening around you? Can you continue to contribute and not check out because of the trying of your faith?
Right.
That's the thing. Right here at the end, we don't want to shipwreck. Right here at the end, this is where we come right down and we really come into that divine nature. To love and to express and to forgive and to make a difference and to bridge the gap and to continue to put in to the body we belong to and not give up. Because your inheritance is already waiting for you.
Yeah.
Amen. May the Lord bless you. I would apologize for taking as long as it has, but God put this on my heart to share with you. And so, I think Brother Tim Pruitt, he said, you know what, we only have one service on Sunday, so we're going to make it work. We can make it, you know. But the trying of our faith, remember, that's what's going on. This is not about this world. It's what God's doing. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you now, after hearing, Lord, these things that you would share with us today, I say that humbly, Lord. We all just want to just step up and present ourselves to you that you can work through us. And so, Lord, I believe that we've done that today. And so, Lord, as we come to this place, hearing what we've heard, knowing the battles that we're in, what can we say, Lord, but just, Lord, we love you. We pray, God, that through the word that you would destroy every lie that the devil puts in your people, to make them doubt their position, to doubt what their input is into the body. Destroy the lies where this devil tells them there is no future for them. Lord, we know it's just him trying to destroy our faith. We know that none of us, Lord, we're not exempt from these things. The enemy trying to attack us. But now this morning, Lord, we just say to you, we love you, Lord, and everything, God, that you've spoken this morning in our hearts, if you identify things in us, Lord, that we know, we say, God, would you forgive us? Lord, would you allow us to come clean this morning? Not carry any more of these things that enemies try to put upon us, Lord, but to go rich in faith, believing and knowing that our time, the time we have left here is short. Our journey will soon be over, and we'll be in that glorious place. But Lord, while we're here, we want to walk faithful, walk according to your word, and walk in your anointing, and walk in your anointing, not the anointing of this world, but your anointing, Lord, that will take us to rapture. May we be those Christians walking as onward Christian soldiers, dressed right and marching right. Lord, we know that we can't do it ourselves. We can only surrender to you. But Lord, we believe through the ministry of your word that you're shaping us up and preparing us. And so, Lord, I pray that each one, as they go today, they don't forget this, that they be lodged down in their heart, that they realize that we are in a battle, but it's just the testing and trying of our faith. Lord, it's all for your glory. And that while we're here, we will rejoice. We will be happy. We will be glad. With joy unspeakable, full of glory. Lord, as we approach you, we will not be a defeated people. We will approach this rapture rejoicing, regardless of the trial we go through. We will come to you on that day rejoicing, happy, glad, with honor and glory to you. We ask God that you do these things for your people now. We believe it. We ask it in Jesus' name. That's why you have musicians that are gifted, because they can pick a song and the words are exactly what I'd like to leave you with today. Trouble, it will come knocking at your door, right? Right? But when you know what we've talked about this morning, right? You don't have to be afraid. Right? You don't have to be afraid anymore, because you know He can't do anything to you.
Right?
You're in the hands of God. You don't have to be afraid, because it's not like it was before this message came to this earth and came to you. They didn't know, but you now know. Right? Don't give in. Don't let it bring you down. Right? You don't have to worry anymore. God's got this. Just hold to His hand. Let's see the next verse, verse 2. Hold on. We're getting closer every day. How many feel that way? We are getting closer every day. There's no reason now to go astray. You now know God's plan. Right? You know He's with you. You know that you've got an inheritance already waiting for you. It can't be touched. It can't be corrupted. It can't go to nobody else.
Right?
There's no reason to go astray. But you can't lean to your own understanding. Right? You just have to lean on Him. The Word. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon of faith, fellowship. Just remember what you heard today.